Too early, right, Dave? Oh, we're okay? Okay. How's that for formal? Good morning. We are glad that you are here on such a beautiful sunny day. It is sunny somewhere. We know that for sure. I am always struck by that. Years ago, there had been some horrible disaster, and my dad and I were at the end of the world, Alabama, planting the garden, and it was hot as mm-mm. And while I was doing that, I was thinking, while I'm able to plant the garden, others are having to rebuild their lives. So I am always aware that what's happening right here is not what's happening around the world. Thank you for coming on this fourth Sunday of Advent. The announcements have been printed and printed and printed and printed, but as we are, we often don't read. So somebody tell me one announcement. That's not in the bullet. One announcement. Christmas Eve service. Are there one? Is there one?
No.
Two. At what times? Good job. You don't have to call. They've made arrangements. You just have to show. Tell me another announcement. Angel Tree was a stupendous success. We thank you for your gifts. There was a wonderful outpouring, and these are families that we know through various other ministries we've been involved with for over a year. So these are not unusual families, and they are just overwhelmed. I can't even begin to express their gratitude and appreciation and heartfelt love that they are experiencing because of your donations. So thank you for your kindness. Thank you for being you. Another announcement. Hey guys, we're glad you're here. We're doing announcements. We've done the Christmas Eve and we've done the Angel Tree. Do you know an announcement? None of y'all? Anybody else know an announcement?
Help for the family in our church.
Helping for the family in our church. Dale and Connie took food, and that those people, again, are just gobsmacked. They're just so appreciative. So thank you for that. You can talk with Dale and Lucky and some others to know how else to be of help. So next Sunday is the last Sunday of the month. And what do we traditionally collect on the last Sunday of the month? And that will happen next Sunday, 10 cents a meal. What offering do we typically collect on Christmas Eve? And that will happen. The joy gift offering, so all of the offerings Christmas Eve in the two services will go to the joy gift offering, and that helps students who are in need that the Presbytery has identified. It also helps retired ministers. Nowadays, it would be safe to say that 95% of all the ministers now have some type of pension plan. But there was a time where ministers opted out of Social Security because they were allowed to do that, but did not do good pension plans. Thus, they're living a horrible, harsh life. So that's what the joy gift offering goes to. Let's see if I missed an announcement. Oh, offering envelopes. If you use your offering envelope, how many are left in your box? One. One is left in your box. So, if you would like another box, please see Audrey. Or, if you would like another box, call Cheryl. But Audrey's got them ready, so you can see her and she can get them for you. If you purchased a poinsettia in memory or in honor of someone, you are welcome to take it home today. Or if you will be here for Christmas Eve, we would like you to leave it here until Christmas Eve. If you want to take it home today, that's perfectly fine. Or if you're not going to be at the Christmas Eve service but want it before then, if you're listening from home, that's what that's about. If you're listening from home, then call Cheryl and she'll put one on the porch for you. Any announcement that I didn't know? Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here today. It is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Jeannie McClure is going to light the angel or peace candle.
Let us hear the Lord's word on this fourth Sunday of Advent. Luke 1, 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever."
Thank you. I stole Byron's order of worship today because we couldn't get in the office. But it has arrived. So there we are. Cheryl promised me this is the highlighted version. So we'll get the highlighted version now. As are many people, Jason and his family are quarantining because of a hit that Natalie had at work and because of some symptoms that they think might be appropriate that they need to hang out. So we need to pray for them and others. Let's pray. Lift our minds in watchful hope to hear the voice which announces God's glory and open our minds to receive the Spirit, who prepares us for Jesus' coming. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. During this Advent season, we think about Christ's birth. We think about the coming of Christ, full of grace and faith and truth and hope. And we trust that God's unfailing grace helps us to see the truth about who we are. When Advent began to be celebrated back around 500 BC, and only, well, none of us were there then. It was actually looking towards Easter. As the years have gone by, it has become a celebration of Christ's birth. It has become a time where we not get bustled up in hurry-scurry, but a time where we do think about the sacrifice that God decided, I need to be down there among those people. I'm going to come as one of them. I'm going to come down in the nitty-gritty, which is what we will be celebrating later this week. The prayer confession is, God, we praise you for sending light into this world. We confess that we live as though the light never really defeated darkness. We confess that we ignore the Savior that you sent to be among us and to live with us. We've kept the birth of your Son confined to a Christmas season. And do not yearn for his coming each moment in our waiting hearts. Forgive us for not opening our eyes to Jesus. Prepare us for Christ's return. Help us rejoice in the light so that your grace can illuminate the darkened place of our hearts. Hear our prayers now as we silently pray. Amen. We are sure that God hears our prayers. We are sure that God hears our prayers of, oh my goodness, where's my shoe? We are sure that God hears our prayers of, I'm so worried because is very ill. We are sure that God hears our prayers of, boy, I messed that one up. Can you forgive me and give me another chance? We know that God hears all of our prayers. But more importantly than hearing, God forgives us and God answers those prayers. We're not just futilely speaking, we are being heard. So now, hear this good news of the gospel. You and I and all of us are forgiven. Alleluia. Amen.
Celebrate the child.
So much. We needed to get up and move about. So, if you think you're a child, if you'd like to be a child, or whomever would like to join Sandy down here with the children's sermon, please do so. It's on.
There we go. Good morning. How we doing? Good. Can anybody tell me what this is? A what?
Present.
It's a present. It is. Is this how our presents are wrapped at our house? It is? Just like that? No? What kind of how are our presents wrapped at home? Can anybody tell me? With paper? What kind of paper?
Wrapping paper.
Wrapping paper? Does this look like wrapping paper? No?
It looks like,
boxing paper. All right. What colors are wrapping paper?
Any color?
Any color? Bright? Festive sometimes? Really, really shiny bows a lot of times? Is that right? All right. So has anybody ever seen the movie The Sound of Music? No? So in that movie, there's a song called The Favorite Things, okay? So in that movie, or with that song, some of you guys may have seen it or may not. If there's a character named Maria, she sings about her favorite things. One of the things that she mentions is a song. In the song is a brown paper package tied up with strings, like we have here. A package like that one. On Christmas morning, we'll wake up to find lots of packages under the trees. Packages wrapped in brightly colored paper and tied up with pretty ribbons and bows. What if there was only one package under the tree, wrapped in brown paper tied up with string, just like this? And if that package had your name on it, would you be wanting to grab that package? Would you think that that was the best thing that you ever had? Maybe. All right. After all, a gift is supposed to come in beautiful, beautiful packaging, isn't it? Well, you know, I think that's what a lot of people have missed out on, is that the gift that God sent to them. God's gift didn't come in a beautifully wrapped package. God sent us Jesus, his only son, as his gift to us. His mother was a young virgin, and his earthly father was a poor carpenter. He was born in a stable. Not a very pretty package, is it? But you know what? It was the greatest gift that the world has ever known. It was the gift of salvation, and it had your name on it, and yours, and yours, and yours, and mine. The Bible tells us that when Mary found out that she had been chosen to be the only one to deliver God's gift to the world, she was filled with joy. She hurried to the home of Elizabeth to share the good news. When Elizabeth heard the news, she exclaimed in a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Well, the Lord has fulfilled his promises to us as he set his gift, as he has sent us the gift of love. But some people are too busy unwrapping beautifully unwrapped packages that this world offers that they have missed out on the greatest gift. Maybe it is because it came wrapped in brown paper tied up with string. Okay, so our lesson for today is always look for the things that are not the prettiest sometimes, right? And think about what God gave us. All right, so will you pray with me? Dear God, we are thankful for you that you loved us so much that you sent your only son to be our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I'm going to give each one of you a little. You're welcome.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Tomorrow night, something pretty amazing is going to be in the sky. What is that? The planets are aligning, and it's called the Christmas star. You should be able to see it about an hour after sunset, and it's visible about an hour. And how long has it been since it's happened like that, that bright, that close to Earth? 800 years. None of us were there then either. So I want you to make sure you are able to see that. Today's candle, the day of Advent is peace. It is also called the angel candle because the angel came to Mary. So I want you to say back to me, what brings you peace? Somebody tell me what brings them peace.
Family.
Christ, family,
prayer,
good health. I think I heard that. I now want you to tell me, where is your peaceful place? When I go to the dentist, I have to get in my peaceful place. In my head, my peaceful place is a lake up by the Continental Divide, almost to Canada, where when we lived there, we would go fishing. It was clear. You could see the bottom. And year-round, there were tufts of snow around that lake. And it was not unusual to see bear lumbering about that lake. Not grizzlies, just bears lumbering about that lake. And I can smell it, and I can feel the breeze. That's where I put myself for peace. Where do you put yourself for peace?
By the ocean.
By the ocean? You can smell the salt? Hear the waves?
Cabin.
At your cabin. Why?
It is peaceful.
Okay. Where else do you put yourself for peace?
On my back porch.
On Petey's back porch with her gorgeous flowers and critters. That's it. So thank you. That was my next question. Why do you go where you go in your mind for peace? You can center yourself and you can feel God. So I'm sorry, we're not doing songs, so you've got to stand up now because you just sit too long in here. So everybody stand up. And then I want you to jump around and flail your arms. Everybody jump or whatever, flail your arms, move your hips. Move your tushies. Just move about. And get your heart pumping. Come on, I can't hear your heartbeats. Get your heart pumping. All right, now, sit down. So that's got you invigorated. Some of you. So what I'd like you now to do is to close your eyes. Breathe a deep breath in. Let it out real slow with your mouth. And on the next breath in, I want you to say, Ready? And do that again. That can bring you peace also because you're centering who you are. And who you are is Christ's child. In 2 Samuel, David had finally become king. He'd gotten some of his goals out of the way. And he says to Nathan, you know, I'm in this house made of cedar. It's looking pretty fine. And poor old God's papers, those tablets, they're just in a tent. I'm going to build a place for God's writings. And Nathan said, the priest said, knock yourself out, that'll be great. But that night, Nathan had a visit from God. And God said to Nathan, no, I don't want him to do that. No. That's not what's supposed to happen. And in 2 Samuel, it says, wait, let me make sure I get all the right verses. Never mind. In 2 Samuel, God says, go tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build a house for me to dwell in? Because they believed that God was in that tabernacle. And so for David to build the house for God, he believed God would indwell that house. I've not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt to this place. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Whenever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of the rulers who I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, why have you not built me a house? Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to the ruler over the people of Israel. I have been with you wherever you've gone, and I've cut off your enemies from before you, and I will make your name great, like the name of the great kings. I will make your name the greatest of all the men on the earth. And I will provide a place for my people of Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home in their own and not look to be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did and have done ever since the time of over the people. And I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you, David. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I'll raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish this kingdom. He is the one who built the house for me. Your offspring will build my house, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be the father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I'll punish him. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. So Nathan went and told this to David. David had been God's appointed king. He'd fought battles. He'd strayed. He'd dilly-dallied and done things he shouldn't have. But then he thought, you know, God's been good. I'm going to be even better. And that's not what God wanted. What did God instead want for David? He wanted David's name to be known forever and ever and ever. He wanted David's name to be known as salvation. And through David's name and through David's heritage would come salvation. So God said to David, uh-uh. Has God ever said to you, uh-uh? Have you ever had a plan where you thought, this is it, I'm going to do this? And God says, uh-uh. Sometimes that's hard to hear. Sometimes when we've prayed earnestly and we think we're following God's guidance and we think we're doing what God would want and we're really truly sincere, and David really was truly sincere in wanting to honor God by building a house for God, we are reminded, that's not really what I'm after. That's not really what I want. I want you to do something different. So then the New Testament reading is in Luke. Now, this is a reading that has always, as a child, befuddled me. It is a reading in which we learn that this 13-year-ish-old girl who is in poverty, she was a girl raised in poverty. We know her family's members. We know Elizabeth and some others. But we really don't know much about Mary, except we know she was very, very young. That she was not a ruler, that she was not from an affluent family. We know that she really believed in God, and she really was studious about that. And we know that she was betrothed. And in those days, what that meant is they'd had a ceremony already. They were, in essence, married. But they weren't living together. For a year they stayed betrothed and then they cohabited. It's a little different from today's world. And she was out working and an angel appeared to her, Gabriel. Have you guys ever thought about what you would do if an angel appeared to you? Faint. I probably would have a heart attack. But Mary just sort of took it in stride. This angel appeared. And in Luke it says, in the sixth month, God sent Gabriel to Nazareth. Really small, really rural, dusty town. And he said it to a virgin, a really good girl, young girl, who hadn't been out doing the bars or the clubs, just had been home. And she was going to marry Joseph, who was a descendant of David. And the angel comes and says, "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." In that day and time, would it have been normal for a strange male to come and talk to a young female he did not know? It was kind of a taboo. You didn't do that. I mean, for her to be talking to a strange male was going to be, whoa. And the strange male comes and says, "Greetings from God." What do you think her reaction was? She was worried. She probably scratched her head. She may have begun turn to say, I need to go somewhere else. She was greatly troubled and wondered, what kind of greeting is this? Who is this man to come and talk to me from God? What is this? I don't even know him. But the angel said, wait. Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. Oh, well, that's fine then. I found favor with God. We'll talk about it. She still was pretty troubled and concerned. You have found favor with God. You are going to be with child. And you're going to have a son. And you're going to name this son Jesus. Now, this strange man comes up to her in her garden or outside working and is telling her all of these things. He's going to be great. He's going to be the Son of God. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. She's a 13-year-old. Do we have a 13-year-old in here? No. She's a 13-year-old. All of us have been that at one time, some further back than others. But you can remember. So tell me, when you were 13, what were you most concerned about? What? Your parents.
Baseball.
Cars. Or a fast bicycle. Or a bicycle. What else? At 13, what were you most concerned about?
Who your friends were.
Was Jane going to be my friend tomorrow because she wasn't yesterday? So Mary was a 13-year-old, worried about those things, and knowing that she was going to someday soon be able to live with her very loved Joseph. And here this person comes, this angel. But this angel didn't appear with wings or the things that are portrayed. He appeared normal. Appears and says, "You've found favor with God. You're going to have a baby. It's going to be Jesus. It's going to rule all over the world. Kingdom will never end." And the amazing thing about Mary is she stayed and listened to all of that. We have no record anywhere that she jeered at him, that she said, "Oh, yeah, right," that she screamed and hollered so that people would come save her. She listened. She had peace. But she does say, now, how is this going to happen? Because I'm a virgin. I've never been with anyone. An angel says, well, the Holy Spirit's coming. And the power of the Most High is going to hover over you, shadow you, so that the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. And you know what, Mary? Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a kid. Now, was Elizabeth young?
No.
She was pretty old. She's going to have a kid. And in fact, when Elizabeth found out she was going to have a kid and her husband found out he was going to be a dad, what happened to him?
He laughed
and he went mute. That's a pretty good trick, isn't it, guys, ladies? We might want to figure that one out. He laughed and he went mute. Because he thought, how could that happen? She's going to have a baby. In fact, she's going to have a baby in 6 months. because nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, "All right, I am God's servant. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said." And the angel left. Mary hears, "You're going to have a baby. Holy Spirit's coming. Going to shadow you. Going to be the king. Going to rule all over the world. Never going to lose its kingdom. And your old Aunt Elizabeth, her old Elizabeth's going to have a baby." And her response is, "Okay, if that's what God wants, okay." What does that tell you about Mary's faith?
Deep.
She was. It was deep. What else does that tell you about Mary's obedience to God?
Complete.
She really believed what God had, she had been taught. She believed that God was with her. She was a servant of God and says, "All right, if that's what you want, okay, I will go with that." I know this won't surprise you, but when I have urgings from God, there are often times I go kicking and screaming. That wasn't Mary's response. It was just like, "Okay. So be it, as from your words to my heart." Do y'all ever kick and scream when you have urgings from God? Do y'all ever say, "I can't do this"? Do you ever say, "Oh, God, no, you got the wrong person, wrong place, wrong time"? Mary went and visited her, Elizabeth. And what happened when Mary and Elizabeth saw each other for the very first time? What happened? Elizabeth felt her baby. And somebody in the back pews back there, tell me who Elizabeth's baby was. It was John the Baptist. So Elizabeth said, "You are most blessed." Elizabeth didn't know Mary's news, but Elizabeth knew Mary's news already and said, "You are most blessed. You guys are very lucky that I can't sing. You're very lucky there's a ban on singing." Because the next portion of the scripture today is the Magnificat, Mary's song. This is Mary's acknowledgement. This is Mary's understanding that so be it. This is as it's going to be. This angel brings me peace because it will, I know I'm going to be in God's will. I am going to be where God wants me to be. And it's Mary's song. So there is a current popular song out, and it's on the radio if you listen to the Christmas songs. And it's the Mary Did You Know song. And I think many of y'all know that. Had I known sooner, I would have seen if we could have, but we can't have music. I would have gotten Connie to come sing that song. That song says, do you know what that baby was? In this song, she does know. In her Magnificat, she acknowledges. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." What's another word for fear in that verse? His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. Another word is those who believe him, who honor him, who follow him. The fear of the Lord is that I know who the Lord is. And because I know who the Lord is, I will honor and obey God.
He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He scattered those who are proud in most thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but he sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. Even as he said to our fathers. Mary's song was, okay, it is God. Generations have followed God and honored God and loved God for years. Generations have feared God. There have been rulers who have tumbled down. The humble and the poor and the hungry have been fed and cared for, and the mighty and the rich have been taken down. Mary's song. The Magnificat. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God is so magnificent is what she's saying here. And she's contemplating that she is going to give birth to this miraculous kid that she's going to be carrying and is carrying. And that this child is going to rule the world from the dusty, rural, poor town of Nazareth. Because, you see, God said, I need to get down there or here, wherever. I need to go be with my people. So why do you think God chose Mary? Why was Mary the choice? This gonna-be-married, 13-year-old, poor young lady.
First of all, she was a virgin.
She was innocent. She was, and you're right. She was a virgin. That fulfilled the prophecy. But there were other virgins throughout the world. She was innocent. She was humble.
Lowly.
God was intentional in going to Nazareth. God was intentional in going to a common person. Just a plain old person. God goes to plain old people every day. And with these, we, plain old people, God asks that we show just as much belief and just as much willingness to obey and just as much understanding as David showed and didn't build a temple and as Mary showed and said, all right, you say it, that's the way it's going to be. God asks that of you every day. God asks that of me every day. God doesn't ask me to build a temple. God doesn't ask me to do those sorts of things we've read about today. But God does ask me to find him in everyday life. To find him in the people around me or to seek out the people God leads me to. God asks me to be aware of those around that God sends in my path. And the wonderful thing of that is the people who are in my path are not the same people that are in Elizabeth or Emily's or Connie's or Jenny Dunn's path. The wonderfulness of that is the people that God sends to you are the people God wants you to impact. That's why there's so many of us and needs to be so many of us because this is a huge world that needs to be impacted. We as a congregation impact people. We as a congregation provide care. But beyond that, it is your care that needs to be given, your ministry. You are of the lineage of David. You are part of a kingdom that's gone on and on and on, and you are called to action in that kingdom. So, tomorrow night, if you're fortunate enough to see that star, think about that. For thousands of years, people have saw that star. They've stood there in wonder. So, as we prepare for Christmas at the end of the week, And as we go about the hurry, scurry, scary craziness, think about what you would have been like had Gabriel talked to you that day. Think about what Gabriel, as a messenger of God, is asking you to do. Think about what difference does it make this Christmas day? Now, we know it's not the historical day. It's the day we choose. What difference does this make in your life? And then, what difference do you make in people's lives? Because you have a purpose for being here. God wants you here. My thought is God wants you here for positive, for health and healing and hope, to be the Christ to those you come in contact with, to be the peace angel as you go about your life. Thank you. We have had prayer concerns printed in our publications. Is there someone new that we need to add?
Joy's grandson, Noah.
Noah. Need to remember Natalie and Ben. They are feeling poorly and they're thinking it's probably COVID. Others that we need to add? Let's pray. Almighty God, you alone are due all honor, praise, and glory. By the might of your irrepressible word, you planted the masterpiece of creation upon which our lives are rooted, provisioning us with everything we'd ever need. You set in motion the things we call life as we set about the work of destroying them through our sin. You set about the work of redeeming them through Jesus Christ our Lord. By the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the work continues in and through us. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the blessings just as we joyfully serve you. Mold us again and again, we pray, as instruments of the harvest, fully invested in the work of making disciples with blood, sweat, and tears. We are very aware, Lord, today that in this season of happiness and in this season of bright lights and tinsel, there are people whose hearts are breaking. There are people who are dealing with COVID at home and in the hospitals. There are caregivers who are worried and concerned. We are aware that there are people who are grieving the loss of loved ones. At the same time, people are celebrating the birth of new. We know that through your love and grace and compassion, you are our healing God. Give us the peace and the knowledge that you will restore us, that you are guiding us in this time of concern and turmoil. Remind us yet again of your power, your grace, and your love. We pray for Phyllis, who is healing, for William and Lucille, who have many illnesses but are striving. Thank you that Jack is walking better. Please continue to be with Jill as she's body is healing. Be with Stephen, Sharon, Gilmore, and all the physical and other challenges they face. And Debbie Abernathy, help her as she heals. Thank you that Jimmy is here today. Please continue to care for those who are administering health and helping Betsy Boone during her travail. There are people who aren't able to come because they're homebound. We pray for them and their caregivers. We pray for the people who, while we are able to sit here in warmth and light, have no structure that is warm, no ability to have light, and no understanding of safety. We thank you for the lesson of how we can pray together. As we pray, Father, hallowed is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Audrey will be out front with offering envelopes. If you'd like to take your flower today, that will be fine. Please social distance as you leave. And as you go about this week, know that you go with the charge that you are Christ to those around you. Amen.
Go.